The date was May 23rd, 1984. Anybody remember? No? The place was movie theaters. Does that help? No? Well, actually, the real date was 1935, and the place was Shanghai. Indiana Jones narrowly escapes the clutches of Lao Chi and the crime boss of Shanghai, with his 11-year-old Chinese sidekick, Short Round, and the nightclub singer, Willie Scott, in tow. They flee Shanghai in an old airplane that, unknown to them, is actually owned by the crime boss, Lao. They narrowly manage to escape and find themselves in India on an adventure, and it continues throughout the whole film. But in that film, Short Round keeps telling Indy something. Does anybody know what it is? It's, you listen to me, you live longer. He kept telling him, 11-year-old kid kept telling Indiana Jones, you listen to me, you live longer. Of course, he never listened to him, but that's beside the point. But the promise is still there. In fact, the Bible says it a slightly different way. We see it in the commandments, particularly the one that we're going to look at today. But before we get to them, we've got to get our fingers ready. You guys ready? Let's do this. Commandment number one, one God and only one. Number two, do not bow down to idols. Number three, do not use the Lord's name in vain. Number four, have a Sabbath rest. Number five, honor your parents. Number six, don't murder. That's a good one, Kennedy. Don't murder. Number seven, do not commit adultery. Number eight, don't steal. Number nine, do not bear false testimony. And number 10, do you guys remember number 10? Do not covet. Do not covet. All right, you guys are getting them. You guys are getting them. Lots of people are participating. By the time we're done, I want to see everybody participating. We'll see. So let's read number 5 as it's written in the Word. It's found in Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You see, the first four commandments are about our relationship with God. And we now begin looking at the next six, which are about our relationship with others. And mom and dad come first. In other words, you can't have a good relationship with other people if you don't have a good relationship with the Lord. We think that we can, but it actually doesn't happen. If you don't have a good relationship with God, then you're not going to have a good relationship with your parents. And if you don't have a good relationship with your parents, it's hard to have a good relationship with those around you. Because if you can't get along with the people in your home, chances are you're not going to get along with the people outside of it. Now, there is some who would argue that, and that's for another day, another place. But I suppose it's why our social scientists today are saying that dysfunctional families produce dysfunctional people. And I read that this last week and went, well, yeah. What modern psychology and sociology have come to conclude today is what the Bible knew eons ago. Family is the basic structure of human civilization. God ordained the family before he ordained government, before he ordained the church. In fact, his chosen people, their family. In fact, everyone here today owes their existence to your parents. You had nothing to do with that. You had nothing to do with who they would be. You didn't get to vote on it. You didn't get to visit them ahead of time and say, yeah, I like these two. They can be my mom and dad. Doesn't work that way. But on the opposite side, your parents, well, they're not perfect. They have their own hang-ups. And unfortunately, they didn't choose you either. Now, there are many children who don't hold their parents in high regard. Too often, good old mom and dad are seen as obstacles to overcome rather than guides of wisdom to be followed and imitated. But in this commandment, God lays down a principle for life that will determine how every relationship around you will turn out. You see, the home is the foundational structure that makes them up. As goes the home, so goes the nation, the community, the church, and so on. In the home, God has established an order that is to be strictly followed. And that order is like this. The husband or father is to be the head of the home, submitting himself to the will of the Heavenly Father. The wife or mother is to be in respect and subject to her husband, not as a doormat or a servant, but as a helpmate. And the children are to honor their parents. And in doing so, they will be blessed by the Lord. So youth, pay attention, because this is about you. You will be blessed of the Lord when you do what your parents are asking. Okay? When you do that, you will be blessed of the Lord. Not necessarily your parents, but you will be blessed. And in order, if this order is to be followed, then the home will be blessed and will be a blessing to all those involved. Yet many homes are in shambles today because the parental structure is broken or non-existent, and so the children have forgotten all about this commandment because they've never been taught it in the first place. Now, some of us have to put a positive spin on our families, on our family trees, just like there was two high school students who were tried to put together a Father's Day gift, and it was a book on their family history. The problem was Uncle George had been executed some years before. And so the oldest boy said, no problem, he could figure this out on how to put a positive spin on this in the book. And so he wrote this in the book. Uncle George was selected to occupy a chair of applied electronics in an important government institution. He was attached to his position by the strongest of ties. His death came as a real shock. You see, you couldn't choose your parents, but they didn't choose you either. God gave them to you. And the only exception are those who are adopted. And to be adopted is a beautiful thing. And if you, like myself, were adopted, don't ever think that you are second class. Rather, you can feel chosen. You know, the pro-abortion crowds, they claim better abort than adopt. It's utter foolishness, and I personally am offended by it. See, the Hebrew word that we translate as honor has several different meanings. Among them is deep respect, model, obedience. So in fact, when the Bible says that we are to honor your father It's saying to esteem your father, to model your father, to obey your father, to respect him. And to respect literally means to hold in high regard. It's a word that is more than ignore and less than worship. Okay? Honor is probably best defined as a whole lot of respect with a pinch of fear. And I say this because as a child, you fear the consequences until you learn to respect their word. And when you begin to respect your word, the word, that fear turns into something completely different. Respect does not mean that you are weak. Respect does not mean that you are lame. Respect does not mean that you lose face in any way. Respect means that I'm going to give you your props, and I'm giving you what is due you. I'm giving you what you are entitled to. And remember that you can't expect respect from others until you are unwilling to give, or if you are unwilling to give respect to yourself. See, the Bible, it says to us that if you want to have respect when you are grown and living in the world on your own, then you need to start by showing some respect while you're at home under your parents' roof. Honor in the Hebrew can also be defined as model. A child is a precious gift. And parents, we have three awesome responsibilities to model for our kids. We need to model physical care. We guard them and meet their needs. In love, we sacrifice to make it happen. See, 10-year-old Johnny, he laid a piece of paper on the table one day. It was a bill. It read this: washed car, $5. Took out trash, $5. Clean my room, $5. Total, $15. So the next day, his mom left him a bill on his plate. And it read this: washed clothes, 520 times, $2,600. 16,950 meals, $85,000. Sat up at night when you were sick many times, $5,000. Gave birth, no amount sounds right. Total amount owed, I love you. Kids, let your parents help you. You will have so many big decisions to make soon, and you will have so little experience to draw from. But your parents, well, they have so much experience and have learned so much. And it stands to reason that God wants you to listen to them and work together. Proverbs chapter 1 says, "Listen, my son, to your father's instructions and do not forsake your mother's teachings." So we need to model that physical care. But we also need to model emotional care. We need to provide for them a strong foundational platform upon which to build the rest of their lives. You see, a child is a clean slate. And what we engrave upon them early on will shape their values for the rest of their lives. If you tell a kid that they're no good, then sooner or later, they will prove you right. We are to love them, to lead them, and one day we have to let them go. And that's a step that I'm at right now. And it's a hard step, I'm learning. Because sometimes, A, they don't want to go. And B, sometimes I don't want them to go. So it's hard. But that's the step that I'm at. But the final model perhaps is the most important model. And that's a spiritual model. The first concept of God for a child is what they get from you, their parents. You are a skylight through which your kids get their first glimpse of God. And that is an awesome responsibility. And yes, I said awesome. I am so thankful for our youth leaders and all those involved in children's ministry, Sunday school, junior church, those who are teaching right now. Because they do a great job teaching our kids. But never forget that the primary responsibility for our kids' spiritual development lies at home. Because if we only rely on our Sunday school teachers, they get them for an hour one Sunday, or an hour on a Sunday, like 30 weeks of the year. It has to come down to us as parents. Now, there are principles that each kid needs to practice. Let's look at Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on earth. In Colossians chapter 3, it says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. You see, the New Testament uses the word obey. And the first way to honor your parents is to obey them. We all answer to others, but the way we learn to respond to authority is by learning to obey our parents. No teacher, no boss, no police officer will have respect and obedience until we, the parents, have it. We may think that this is just a silly little thing, but look at Romans chapter 1. It says this, they have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They have inventive ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Did you notice that the disobedient child is listed in with the rest of these things? All of these sins serve as a warning to all that if you are disobedient as a child, you will continue on as an adult. It also teaches us that a sin is a sin. And when we look at the Bible, there's lots of examples I could draw from, but my mind goes to David's son, Absalom, rebelled against his parents. You can see the clashing of the swords as he and his followers revolt against his father David. Can you see him riding away on his mule? His hair flowing behind him. I don't understand how that happened because mules are typically not fast. Must have been a windy day. And he passed under a tree and his hair gets caught by the branches. And he hung there as General Joab rode up and put three sharp spears right through that black, dark, ugly, rebellious heart of Absalom. It's an everlasting memorial of what God thinks about those who rebel against their parents. But thankfully, we live in an age of grace. But back then, under the law, they disciplined children much differently. When rebels developed and raised their ugly heads, parents took them to the elders. And the elders had a rock concert for them by stoning them to death. Now, I'm not condoning that, but biblical discipline is real. And when growing up, my parents often used the Board of Education applied directly to the seat of knowledge. Today, some parents still believe that there is a direct line of communication from the gluteus maximus to the cerebral cortex. And our commandment for today teaches kids to honor and obey your parents. Now, children normally go through four stages. First, they idolize their parents. It's a fun stage when they think that you can do no wrong. Wow, are they ever wrong? Then they demonize their parents. Somehow their brain fails and it falls out their ears and their parents become the enemy. And their parents are the cause of all of their problems. They can't do anything right. But they work through that stage and eventually they get to the stage of utilizing their parents. Because they get smart, they start complimenting and suddenly they start asking for stuff that they want. I need a new phone, I need the car keys, I need this, I need that. They start utilizing us as parents. But eventually, still waiting for this, but eventually they humanize their parents. Because they realize that they aren't God, they're not the devil, they're just people who make mistakes. They have strengths and weaknesses just like they do. So youth, remember the simple fact. Coming up one day, there is a role reversal coming. And we need to be patient as well as we want our kids to be patient someday. Because biblically, children are supposed to be the real Social Security program for parents. And I have a whole lot of respect, deep respect, for the many here who are currently or have recently been that for their parents, being there with them. Now, if there's some medical reason to have professional care, that's one thing. And if they do put your parents into a home, I'm okay with that. Just don't leave them there. Go and visit them. And parents, if your kids take you into their homes, be gracious. Don't view it as payback time. Please don't. I've heard too many say that. Oh, I can't wait till I have to live with my kids again because it's going to be payback. I'm going to leave my dirty socks all over the place. I'm going to leave them to do my laundry. I'm going to pretend to forget all those things that they told me. No, don't do that. See, this commandment ends with a promise. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Now, I know that some say that this is not the first command with a promise, because God said that he will be faithful to 1,000 generations. I disagree with that because I see 1,000 generations as a blessing. That is a blessing. I think that's how Paul viewed it as well. But whether you see that as the first blessing or the second or promise and this is the second, it doesn't matter. This carries a promise. And the primary interpretation here is that God was telling Israel that they could remain in Canaan, in the promised land. They could remain there longer if they would honor their parents. But there's a secondary application here for us. Us who live in Winnipeg, Manitoba, which is nowhere near the land of Canaan. Some may call it the promised land, but they're wrong. If you honor your parents, they will help develop habits and choices in your life that tend to make you live happier and longer. Of all the commandments that are found in the table of the Ten Commandments, only this particular verse identifies what will happen if you choose to keep this very commandment. It says, all the other ones say, do this or do that. But when it comes to the fifth commandment, God adds in the provision in this verse by saying that if you do this, look what will happen. Serving God comes with benefits. If you serve him, he will take care of you. He will provide for you. He will protect you. He will guide you. He will direct you. He will comfort you. He will console you. And the list could go on and on and on. And those who honor their parents live longer than other people who dishonor their parents. Because if you treat your parents right, esteem and respect them, then perhaps you won't have all the high blood pressure, the stress, the anxiety, and all the other ailments that come along with guilt that perhaps you're feeling for treating your parents like garbage. Those who honor or model their parents' behavior live longer because your parents, well, they didn't live as long as they did by being a fool. Obviously, they must have been doing something right. And if you model what they were doing, then the chances are that you will reap the same benefits as them. If you honor and obey your parents, you will live longer because you won't end up in the same places or in places that you have no business being in because they never went there either. And the land that God has promised you is not just life here on earth. Included in the land that God has promised is this beautiful thing called eternity with God. And as I look back over the years of my life, I realize that in many ways, I was an incredibly disobedient, rotten child. And yet, I thank God for my parents and for the life raising they gave to me. Because what I am today is a product of their investment into my life. And the same is true for all of you. We may not always agree with our parents. We may not always understand our parents. But the bottom line is they are our parents. And as such, they deserve all the love, all the respect that we can possibly give to them. I know it's not Father's Day or Mother's Day, but perhaps you could pick up a phone and call your parents and honor them today. Some of us can't do that any longer. Some of us wish we could. But if you can, perhaps you can do that today. Let's pray. Almighty God, I thank you for your loving grace and mercy. Thank you for allowing us to come together today as a church family to worship your name, to hear from your word. And I ask that you would examine our hearts and search us of anything that might be stopping us from fully experiencing your blessings. Give us the strength to be true to you, to admit our wrongdoings, that we may come to you for forgiveness and cleansing. I pray that we would go forth from here and honor our parents, our fathers and our mothers, to respect them, to show them love, to let them know it. And I pray that as parents, do our best to model all of these things of you to our children, that you would give us grace and wisdom. I pray for our children and our youth that they might see you in us as parents and that they would respect and honor and model what they see of you in us. I pray that they would not model those things where we fall short, but would recognize that they are not of you. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, Lord, and King. Amen.